So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. So I guess this is the moment in this service where we ask Lorna, Jen, Andy, Brett, you're our servers. Could you go and bring down the big collection plate up there? You know the one, the big shiny one up there. And we're going to pass it around. And everyone hurry up and put in your wallets and your watches and your jewelry, rings, necklaces. We don't care. Whatever you got, put in the keys to your house and your cottage. And don't forget the car keys. The church could really use all those cars out in the parking lot. Throw those into the offering plate too. But seriously, how do we deal with these kinds of statements from Jesus in our Holy Scriptures? When they are spoken to us from the lips of Jesus himself, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. Because I don't think it is fair for us as the church in 2019 to just dismiss these kinds of difficult teachings out of hand, which we often do. We often dismiss them out of hand with arguments like, well, Jesus is just speaking metaphorically in this instance. He's not speaking literally. Or even better still, we'll say, Jesus is talking about spiritual possessions, but not really about our physical possessions. Those kind of simplistic responses to this teaching just seem too easy to me, too shallow, quite frankly. It's as if in our own discomfort with what this teaching of Jesus might mean, what it might mean for us and for our lives, out of that discomfort, we're not willing to wrestle with it, to wrestle with the weight of what our Lord is saying to us, to even contemplate what life might look like in a world where each of us gave up all that we had. Not only that, not only our own discomfort, but I think that just casually sweeping this kind of teaching of Jesus, and this one in particular, under the proverbial rug, it does a disservice, my friends, to our ancestors in the faith. Because as we read in the book of Acts in the New Testament, as we read in the letters of Paul, including the letter to Philemon, which we heard this morning, many members of the early church, of the early Jesus movement, took this teaching of Jesus about possessions quite seriously, quite literally, as many Christians in our world continue to do to this day. In many communities of the early church, possessions and wealth were held entirely in common. There was a common purse for expenses amongst the community, and common fields with common crops and common livestock. There were vows of modesty, vows of simplicity within the community, vows of poverty even, just as there continued to be such vows in many monastic and neo-monastic Christian communities throughout the world to this day. Yeah, but wait a second, you're probably thinking to yourself right now, we're not all meant to be monks and nuns, Matthew. Not all of us could be monks and nuns. You get my drift? Wouldn't get very far as a society if we were all monks and nuns, Matthew. Of course not. That's not what I'm arguing. But what I am arguing is that by casually dismissing this kind of teaching by Jesus about wealth, as dismissing it as too difficult or totally unrealistic or as just not meant for us in 2019, in dismissing it, we are missing yet another invitation. Yet another invitation from our Lord to wrestle with the fullness of God's mission, with the fullness of God's vision for our lives together, our shared lives together here on earth. Just as last week with the parable of the wedding banquet, we were invited by Jesus to consider how the power of social privilege can needlessly separate us from each other. So this week, we are being challenged by Jesus to become conscious of how our economic privilege can separate us needlessly from each other, can quite literally bruise us and wound us and pierce us as the body of Christ. Just like social privilege, economics are something that we create as human beings. I don't know if you've noticed, but God doesn't print the money. We print the money. God's face is not stamped on our coins, as Jesus so famously demonstrated when he held up a Roman denarius before all the crowd and said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." That's Caesar's face up there. Render unto God what is God's. Are we conscious as Christians in 2019 of how the systems of economic privilege that we create privilege some and underprivilege others? Are we conscious of how our ways of managing wealth can sometimes allow some of us to get ahead, but others not so much? Because God is not interested fundamentally in just some of us getting ahead. God is not interested, quite frankly, in just you getting ahead and just me getting ahead. God does not think that some of us are more deserving of God's blessing and God's grace than others. To think that it is God's will for some of us who are quote-unquote more faithful to prosper, while those who are quote-unquote less faithful struggle, the so-called prosperity gospel, it still pervades parts of God's beloved church, and it is pure heresy. It is a distortion of God's grace to think that God wants some of us to prosper while others struggle. Because just like the potter at the wheel, the potter who we hear about this morning in that great prophecy from Jeremiah, God creates us. God molds us all in love. We are all but dust, my friends, dust in the hands of the potter. And everything that we know and all that we own and everything that we touch and everything that we breathe, every atom and molecule in all of creation, it is but sacred dust, dust in the hands of the master potter. And as we say to each other on Ash Wednesday, remember, you are dust. And to dust, you will return. All of us go down to the dust. And for this brief moment in time, this wrinkle in time that we call life here on earth, we are invited, in the words of Jeremiah, to come. Come down to the potter's house. See him sitting at his wheel. And listen. Listen to the sound of his voice. But even more than that, even more than listening, in the incarnation and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, we are actually invited to join with the potter, to partner with the potter at the wheel, to get our hands dirty, as our children did this morning, to become co-creators with God, to join our imaginations to God's, to become shapers of the dust into the vision of a world that God wants to see. And what will that world look like? What will the world look like that we are invited to give shape to, together with God? Will we ignore God and strike out on our own? Will we use the dust to build bricks, bricks and mortar for mighty walls and fortresses? Will we use the potter's wheel on our own to make molds? Molds for swords and shields. Molds for mountains of gold and silver coins that will needlessly separate us from one another economically, that divide us. Or will we allow the palms of our hands to be guided by the hands of the potter? Will we discover that we are all empowered by the hands of this master laborer to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks and to render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's? Will we allow this mysterious potter, this craftsman who breathes life into all creation, to help us to use his wheel not to make swords and shields, but to make plates to hold bread and cups to hold wine, and begin to live into a world where we're not separated from each other by our wealth and by our so-called possessions that aren't really ours in the first place? Will we instead live into a world where we are united by the grace, the simple graces of grain and grapes, united by the waters of our baptism and by the tiny pieces of bread, the tiny pieces of dust that we will soon hold in our hands, and the wine that we will soon taste on our lips, united by the gifts of God for the people of God. The sacred gifts of font and altar that tell us all of us that we are loved, and all of us that we are equal, and all of us are set free by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.